2237.
Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive and the deadly myths which are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, with military and economic schemes, and we have one that crosses all of those lines this morning. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission here is to help you understand what is actually occurring and how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. We will, as is our custom, engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant through His always dependable Torah teaching in our second hour, because that is the only place to find answers which are reliable and hope that you can depend on. Our number, if you would like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. I'm certain that everyone who is listening to this program knows what happened in Boston yesterday. At least they know on the surface what happened. At the marathon's finish line, some 30 or 40 feet from the finish line, there was a bomb explosion, and about 100 yards further down the street, there was another explosion. The carnage has been total, at least up to this point. Three people are dead, including an 8-year-old child. There are 17 people in critical condition. There are almost a score of people who have had amputations or who are awaiting amputations. Some of the initial press reports read, the runners had just finished, and now they don't have legs. That's really not a accurate statement. When you look at the blast, those that that suffered the most damage are those that were spectators. They were waiting behind the barricades. Those in the street. This looks like there's only one person that collapsed as the bomb exploded. It appears that the bomb was placed in a waste paper receptacle down low. The thing that was did not come out about the blast, at least from the authorities, but became obvious from the hospital reports and from the carnage at the scene, is that those backpacks were loaded with ball bearings. That was the thing that I was hoping was not the case, but was expecting to be the case. Virtually every Islamic suicide bomber, when they put on their suicide backpacks, there are two ingredients that are added to the backpacks to make them especially lethal. One is ball bearings and metal objects, tacks, nails, screws, and bolts. Same kind of thing that was in this backpack. And the second is rat poison. Rat poison because it is an anticoagulant. And when people have body parts that are severed, it keeps the blood from coagulating. I don't know about the rat poison at this point, but for Islam, it was not a good sign that there were ball bearings. Now, at this point, no one is aware of who did it, and if they are aware, they're not saying. There is but one non-suspect. It is a Saudi Arabian man, 20 years old. He was observed at the scene, tackled by a spectator who said that his behavior before and after the blast was highly suspicious relative to the site of the bomb, and that his behavior both prior to the explosion and his behavior after the explosion was inconsistent with a normal human response. He was tackled and held by a spectator, turned over to police, who says that he's at a hospital under guard, but is not a suspect, even though this same 20-year-old Saudi Arabian man's apartment was searched either late last night or this morning, with the FBI leaving with bags full of evidence, if you will, from his apartment. The one thing that I was most disappointed in last night is the rush of the media to judgment. While they would say, oh, we should not rush to judgment, immediately thereafter they would have an expert say, this is in all likelihood an act of homegrown terrorism and is being perpetrated by right-wing extremists. And they would cite the fact that it was tax day, April 15th, Boston is a financial center, and then would say that the location of the bomb and the crude nature of the bomb indicates that, you know, it was probably just a lone wolf who has a beef with the United States. And then they would cite the Oklahoma City bombing as evidence for their case. There is far more evidence linking Ramzi Youssef, the most devastating fundamentalist Islamic terrorist, with the Oklahoma City bombing, the first bombing of the New York World Trade Centers, which he is currently incarcerated for, the 9/11 plot, which it is his design, we know that for certain, the plot to bomb the Pentagon and the World Trade Centers by hijacking airplanes was conceived by Ramzi Youssef. There is far more evidence linking Ramzi Youssef to Oklahoma City than there is linking Osama bin Laden to 9/11. And yet the media, preferring to speak of right-wing nut jobs, almost universally uses the name Timothy McVeigh. Look at at what happened when U.S. citizen and far-right militant, in fact, reading from the New York Times in 1995, far-right militant and U.S. citizen Timothy McVeigh set off a truck bomb that destroyed the federal building in Oklahoma City, killing 168 people. It is, of course, interesting that that none of them mention the name of Terry Nichols, who was Timothy McVeigh's partner in that plan, and that Tim Nichols spent most of the previous years in the, prior to the bombing in the Philippines, and that while in the Philippines, that he had constant contact with Abu Sayyaf, which was the base of operation for Ramzi Youssef, and that the fundamentalist Islamist terrorist that he met with there all claimed that he was part of their team, and they, in confessions to the FBI, admitted that they had perpetrated the attack. Now, it is true that with Oklahoma City, there was that fundamentalist Muslims used right-wing crazies. There is a definite participation by former vets and other right-wing nut jobs that were associated with what was called the City of Elohim. And so the only difference, if you will, between Oklahoma City and 9/11 is that in the case of 9/11, all of the participants were fundamentalist Muslims. They all hailed from, most hailed from Saudi Arabia, but all hailed from Islamic countries. They all claimed that they were perpetrating the bombing on behalf of Islam. And yet, Islam is almost never blamed. The plot was sourced in terms of personnel in the Al-Qaeda mosque in Hamburg, Germany, financed to a considerable degree by the ISI in Pakistan. Most of the participants were fundamentalist Muslims from Saudi Arabia, and the plot was conceived by Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines. It is also true that the United States had all of the details associated with the 9/11 suicide bombings of the Pentagon and World Trade Centers, and the methods that would be used to perpetrate the attack in their possession in 1995, 6 years before the attack occurred, and did nothing. And didn't even bother, once the attack occurred, to admit that the attack had been conceived and planned by Ramzi Youssef 6 years previously. And so the thing that bothered me the most about, well, beyond the needless carnage, the fact that a two-year-old is in serious condition, an eight-year-old has been killed, there are some 20 people that have had amputations, that three are dead, and 144 have been wounded, is that almost all of the media coverage went initially to it is being perpetrated by a right-wing wacko, as opposed to this is another example of Islamic terrorism. Now, I don't know. I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to tell you that this was perpetrated by a Muslim. Don't know. I can tell you the following, that 99% of terrorist acts perpetrated in the world today are perpetrated by Muslims. When the terrorist act uses an explosive backpack filled with ball bearings, the percentage of those kinds of terrorist attacks on innocent civilians who have nothing to do with the perpetrator's cause, the percentage of those that are perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims is astronomical. So, do I know for certain? No, of course not. Would you normally, naturally suspect the people who use this kind of device routinely around the world, so commonly it has become their signature, and would you suspect, at least as a high likelihood, the fact that 99% of such terrorist attacks are perpetrated by Muslims? I think you ought to at least be talking about that, thinking about that, and listing that as the highest likelihood before you go about blaming individuals that perpetrate less than 0.1% of terrorist acts. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. Our number is 877-300-7645. Talking about the Boston bombings, my grave concern is that we don't seem to learn the only important lesson from such atrocities. That is, who perpetrated the atrocity and why they did it. You know, we look at the Oklahoma City bombing, and McVeigh is blamed, but not Nichols. And no one seems to be interested in the fact that there is more evidence linking Terry Nichols to Abu Sayyaf, to Ramzi Youssef, and to fundamentalist Islamic terrorism than there is linking anyone associated with the 9/11 bombings to Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. And yet we say that the 9/11 suicide bombings, and they're not even called suicide bombings, they're just called a terrorist attack, was perpetrated by al-Qaeda militants, when in fact it was perpetrated by just straight-out fundamentalist Muslims. Al-Qaeda had almost no presence in Saudi Arabia at the time, and yet most of the perpetrators were Saudi Arabians. And so it is by mislabeling who perpetrated an event, what the motivations were, where the skill set came to kill and maim in this way, that we learn nothing from it. We go off and we lash out at symptoms. We invade countries like Afghanistan and Iraq, and in both situations simply make a bad situation worse. All because the one lesson that is important to learn is the one lesson we are unwilling to learn. We have Jason, who is calling in from Toronto. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I just called in to talk about a post I got on my Facebook. And, you know, I don't know him very well, but he just made a comment about the Boston bombings and was saying, you know, that he hopes that it was homegrown or else there'll be rampant racism. And I just felt like I didn't even know, like I wanted to respond, but it's like, wow, like there's so many things wrong with that statement. And like, just, I'm really appreciating your program because like, this is sort of the culture we're in, you know, and we're surrounded by, you know, this sort of mentality and, you know, without somebody with enough information to educate people, you know, you're really sort of left to, you know, just poor sources of information and,
Yeah, you know, yesterday, Jason, there was an article that we began the show with. It was the fact that the U.S. military is teaching Army reservists, National Guardists, I should say, the same people who were on duty there in Boston, that it is teaching the National Guard troops that the greatest threat to the country, the foe that they will most likely be encountering, are extremists. And they defined extremists the scariest concern in terms of extremists, according to the U.S. Army, was Christian evangelists. And Christian evangelicals, and anyone who took and takes an extremist position. When the U.S. ambassador was killed in Libya, the president of the United States knew for a fact, within an hour of the time of the murder, that it had been perpetrated by Ansar Sharia, Friends of Sharia Law. And that they had planned the attack and that they had used U.S. weapons in the attack. And yet he blamed a extremist Christian movie for the attack. And 5 days later at the United Nations continued to blame the extremist movie for having motivated the attack. And so we are in a situation where the media, politicians, even our military, and now our law enforcement are being trained on the notion that the great foe is extremists. Anyone who is not going along with the flow is the individuals we should be looking at and constraining and being afraid of, and those are the ones we should lock up. And the reality is that while we do not know who perpetrated this attack, we do know who perpetrated the Oklahoma City bombing, and that it was influenced by Ramzi Youssef. We know that Ramzi Youssef came up with a plot for 9/11. We know that he bombed the World Trade Center not once, but twice. We know these things, and yet we are unwilling to say them, because there is this myth that if we call the enemy Al-Qaeda, we don't have to speak about the connection. All right, welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. You can join us on this program by calling toll-free 877-300-7645. Don't want to take time today to go through all of the evidence that leads Terry Nichols to Ramzi Youssef. Perhaps on another day in another program we will do so. My only reason for bringing it up is that I am disappointed that our government would continue and our media would continue to move in the direction of trying to create a new enemy, that enemy being extremism. Thereby, they can kill with their drones, they can spy on, they can blame, they can incarcerate anyone who they think is opposed to what they want. That could be opposed to their legacy, that could be opposed to their re-election, that could be opposed to their political views, could be opposed to their religious views. Anyone who is opposed to them is labeled an extremist, and the extremist has become the enemy. You know, such was the case with the Libyan murders, where the President of the United States has still not come clean. Just to say it was a terrorist act as opposed to it was perpetrated by a movie doesn't get you where you need to go. And as we heard, there's this great fear that people will begin to connect the dots and that a comatose nation might actually wake up if this event was perpetrated by a Muslim. Now, I don't know if it was. I can tell you that 99% of terrorist acts perpetrated in the world against innocent civilians, where those civilians have absolutely no involvement in the issues being raised by the fundamentalist Muslim terrorist, where backpack explosives are used and where those backpacks are laced with ball bearings and other kinds of projectiles, that Muslims perpetrate 99.9% of these kinds of attacks. Does that mean that they perpetrated this one? No. But that means that we ought to understand that they are responsible for 99.9% of them. They were responsible for the suicide bombings of 9/11. They were mostly responsible for the bombing of the Oklahoma federal building. They were absolutely responsible for the first bombing of the New York Trade Center. They were responsible for the car bomb that that fortunately only partially detonated not too long ago in New York City. Hassan, the psychiatrist that killed so many in Fort Hood, exactly the same thing as was the underwear bomber of Christmas Day. And then to suggest that making this conclusion is somehow akin to racism is how those who have no legitimacy seek to silence those who cite evidence and reason. There is no racial overtones associated with Islam. The notion that if you're an Arab, you have to be a Muslim is untrue. There are many Arabs who are not Muslims. In addition, most Muslims are not Arabs. It isn't a racial issue, it is a religious issue. The problem is the religion of Islam. It's not a corruption of the religion. It is Islam as it was conceived. Muhammad was a terrorist. He led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. He was a mass murderer. He was a kidnapper. He was a slave trader. There's a reason that Muslims are so thin-skinned about people talking honestly about Muhammad, exposing the fact that he was amongst the most repulsive men who ever lived, a rapist and a pedophile. These are facts. They're not conjecture. It's because when the truth is known about Islam, the religion can't survive. And since the religion is responsible for perpetrating more poverty, more deaths, more carnage on the world than any other doctrine currently at play in this world, doing so would be wise. And yet those who do it will be labeled racist. It is a extraordinarily sad commentary on our nation. So we'll wait. We'll find out who perpetrated the attack, and we will see how our nation responds, whether it responds like it did to 9/11 and said, we will always remember and fly flags and be patriotic and united we stand, and never acknowledge the fact that that plot was not only perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims, but that the United States had absolute concrete evidence of the particular plot, and that it was conceived in the Philippines in 1995, and that the FBI was there in the Philippines, in Ramzi Yousef's apartment, in the fall of 1995, with absolute proof that that plot was going to be perpetrated on America, and did nothing and never made the connection after it occurred. So don't expect the truth from your government. There was a horrible report that came out in the news today. I'm going to share this with you because there is a connection, but please be careful about the connection. New York Times is reporting Dateline Washington, a nonpartisan independent review of interrogation and detention programs in the years after September 11th, 2001, terrorist attacks. Why do we call it a terrorist attack? Why don't we just call it what it was? Fundamentalist Muslims became suicide bombers, all because their religion teaches them to hate anyone who does not accept their religion. Anyone who supports someone they hate, which would be all Jews, they view as an infidel worthy of death. Anyway, the report concludes that it is indisputable that the United States engaged in the practice of torture, end quote, and that the nation's highest officials bore the ultimate responsibility for it. So a nonpartisan independent review of the interrogation and detention programs following the September 11th suicide bombings say that the United States engaged in the practice of terror and that George W. Bush was responsible. Now, all you have to do to understand who perpetrated 9/11 and why they did it and what you can do to stop them is to read the Quran and Hadith. If you were to put the Quran in the context of the Hadith so that the Quran is chronological and you can see the Quran revelations unfold chronologically in the context of Muhammad's life by using the four oldest and most credible sources of Hadith, you understand who the 9/11 suicide bombers were, why they chose to fly planes into our buildings, and you know precisely what you can do to stop them. The answer was easy. You didn't need to detain anyone, didn't need to torture anyone, didn't need to shoot a bullet at anyone, didn't need to bomb anyone. You didn't need billions of dollars squandered on the CIA or billions of dollars squandered on the FBI. As a matter of fact, at the time, for less than $20, you could have gone off to a local store and bought a copy of Prophet of Doom and not even have to do the research yourself, because I already took the Quran and put it into the context of the Hadith, and it explains precisely who the bombers were, what they believed, why they killed, how they were indoctrinated, and what you could do to stop Islamic terrorism without ever firing a shot. But no, the United States decided that we're not going to ever tell America the truth. What we want to do is to engage in a repugnant practice that has never worked throughout human history, and that will make us as savage as those who bombed our buildings. It is something that when we do it, we will manufacture 1,000 enemy for every one that we torture. And by torturing them, we will learn nothing. And as a matter of fact, all we will do is obfuscate the problem as opposed to reading the Quran and Hadith. The sweeping 577-page report says that while brutality has occurred in every American war, there has never been, quote, the kind of considered and detailed discussions that occurred after 9/11 directly involving the president and his top advisors on the wisdom, propriety, and legality of inflicting pain and torment on detainees in American custody. In the study, the 11-member panel convened by the Constitution Project, which is a research and advocacy group, they decided to release their report this morning. When you torture people, you learn nothing. You know, throughout the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholic Church was the most torturous organization on earth. And Christianity as a religion was universally torturous. And every time that somebody was suspected of not going along with the flow, of being an extremist because they say, you know, this religion is rotten to the core, even if they were suspected with not being wholly interrogated and indoctrinated by the religion, they were tortured. And the people doing the torture were typically Roman Catholic priests. Most savage kinds of tortures, even beyond imagination. All to elicit a confession. Everybody, everyone, will ultimately confess to anything under that much torture. But what are they confessing to? They're confessing to the fact that they want you to stop torturing them. That's all they're confessing to. It is absolutely grotesquely immoral. It has no value whatsoever. As a matter of fact, in this sweeping 577-page report, they not only say that the United States engaged in barbaric tortures, but that we learned absolutely nothing from them. Nothing. And all the time. All we had to do to understand 9/11 is read the evidence that was collected in 1995 in the Philippines when Ramzi Yousef's apartment caught on fire, and we would have known what was going to occur. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. We are talking about an extraordinarily black stain on the character of the United States. A 577-page report was released today that shows that the United States not only engaged in brutal tortures of individuals that it had kidnapped and then scurried away to hidden locations, typically outside of the United States, so that the CIA would not be subject to American law, where we brutalized the those detainees and acted very much like the Roman Catholic Church did throughout the Middle Ages. While the task force did not have access to classified records, it is the most ambitious independent attempt to date to assess the detention and interrogation programs that had been sponsored by the President of the United States. A 6,000-page report on the Central Intelligence Agency's record by the Senate Intelligence Committee, based exclusively on agency records rather than interviews, remains classified. You see, the United States doesn't want Americans to know the truth. You know, the gentleman that was a German national that was in Macedonia that was kidnapped by the United States and then over a period of 5 months tortured, even sodomized by the CIA. His case won't even go to trial because the United States is afraid that if its citizens know how savage, how grotesquely immoral that it has been, that it will lose their patriotic support. And that's why the 6,000-page investigation by people whose salaries we are paying, the Senate Intelligence Committee, has decided that rather than telling the American people the truth about how badly we have behaved, that we would keep it under wraps. But you know, Muslims the world over know the truth. It's a primary motivation. You can't torture people. You can't use drones to murder people. You can't drop bombs which kill women and children. You can't do that kind of thing and not manufacture more enemy than you kill. For every person that we tortured, we inspired many thousands more. There have been in Pakistan a number of schools set up to try to deal with the many thousands of young boys who are fundamentalist Muslims and who join the Taliban and attempt to perpetrate acts of terror, even on Pakistanis, on their own people. And during those, when they, you know, are able to round up young boys that are engaged in this, they're making an attempt to find out, you know, how is it they became part of the terrorist organizations and decided that it was appropriate to go off and kill. And there is one common denominator amongst all of them. They say it's the American drones. Because of the American drones killing so many Muslim women and children indiscriminately, and America invading their country and using these drones, that they've decided that they have to do something. And that they have decided that they would become jihadist and mass murderers. The same thing is true with this torture. We are making the world hate us. And, of course, mostly Republican conservatives justify this and say, you know, there's no amount of pain that isn't appropriate with people who are willing to fly planes into our buildings, and therefore they will justify it. Just as the Roman Catholic Church justified tortures throughout the Middle Ages. But the reality is you learn nothing from torture. All you do with torture is you destroy your own credibility. You put a giant black blight on your heart. Your soul becomes corrupt. The use of torture, the report concludes, has no justification and damaged the standing of our nation. It reduced our capacity to convey moral censure when necessary and potentially increased the danger to U.S. military personnel who were taken captive. The task force found no firm or pervasive evidence that the interrogation's methods produced valuable information that could have not been obtained by other means, like reading the Quran. A person subjected to torture might well divulge useful information, much of which is obtained by force and not therefore reliable, the report concludes. I'm Yada. We'll return to Shattering Myths in a moment.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact.